Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show, episode 14, season 4, The Architect. I won't say anything about testicles just yet. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing.
Why'd you put this song in the episode?
Hello.
In the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Duh.
Oh, he just pulled out a duh.
Duh.com.
Duh.com.
Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. What is this? The Architect.
The Architect.
We're here. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Julia Carey.
I'm here. Barely made it, but I'm here.
I'm joined not, as always,
as always not,
by the lovely Joe Sanfilippo, who, whose house may or may not be underwater right now. Yeah. So I'll give him
we'll let this one slide.
But instead, we have from New York City, the lovely Jody Walker from EW. How are you, Jody?
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm on the top today.
Yes.
Here from the jump.
Here from the jump. We're not coming to you later in the show.
Mm-mm.
Like, yeah, you're here from the beginning.
Hitting the ground running.
See, can you turn her up just a tad bit for me, if that's possible? Oh no, Jody.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. There we are. Thank you so much. Hi, guys. We're back. Sorry for our very short show last week. We have a short show this week, but not as short. Well, I still have my jacket on.
LA is killing us this
jackass
week.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, right. That's a nice jacket.
All right.
Okay.
Hi, folks in the chat room. Good to see you all. I'm sorry we're late Andrew Martin and Golden Toe and Watson Keane and Anna Pahuda Sahariha.
So close. You get better every time.
I'll get there. And all you folks that are there watching live and hanging out, thank you. Lots to talk about in the old Architect episode.
Yeah.
We have TV's Brent Spiner. Spinner? How do you... Brent?
Brent Spiner.
Brent Spiner. Not Brent Spinner.
No. Close.
Brent Spiner.
Data.
TV's Data.
Also Broadway star. And Broadway star Brian Stokes Mitchell, who was like... the love of my life. When I saw him come on, I was thrilled.
Oh, he was great.
He was so good in this episode. He's good. Everything he touches.
He just had such a character. I thought that we had met him before, but had we?
I don't think so, but hopefully we'll meet him again. I loved every second that he was on screen, and my heart soared, and everything he touches turns to gold. I've said it.
It's just that stage training. The stage training. He gets on screen. He takes over.
Oh, Cole House.
I guess. So we're kind of learning some stuff here about, you know.
P.S. I love this episode.
Did you really?
Yeah, I thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot, too.
Well, yeah.
What's not to like about my boy Aram going undercover with his cool, what is it, orange beanie? What was he rocking?
Yellow? White yellow.
The yellow beanie? Is that this yellow hacker beanie?
Bordering on mustard.
Yellow hacker.
I mean,
Lizzie has her blogger hoodie, and Ron has his yellow hacker beanie.
Oh,
there are a lot of beanies in that hacker convention. I guess that's just like the normal garb.
Well, Julia, have you been to many hacker conventions?
Blogger?
Not yet. I haven't been invited quite yet. I'm still learning how
blogger
to drop a
hoodie and hacker beanie. I think they're playing at Coachella this year. That's my big joke. All right. The hacker convention. I mean. I don't know. Like, the one thing I know probably doesn't happen at the hacker convention, at a real one, is a guy doesn't get on the mic and say something like, "Get your hack on!" What'd he say?
I don't know.
Wasn't it something like that? Like,
it was pretty awful.
That part is, get your
there
hack on?
There was definitely a hacking DJ who was, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of hacking, I'm apologizing ahead of time for all the hacking that I will be doing during this show.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Julia is sick.
But I'm loaded with
whiskey.
Cough drops. Unfortunately, not whiskey.
So we're still marching forward towards Blacklist Redemption, I assume.
Very much so.
We touched on this last week a little bit, how we're now starting to understand and get a better picture of how Tom is going to now make this transition over. It seems Lizzie is 1,000% on board with whatever Tom wants
to do.
Very
supportive.
Yeah, like, hey, you know, you gotta kill some people, do it. You gotta find some people, do it. Like,
She's offering all her resources as well.
Offering resources in the middle of cases. Like, hi, honey. what's going on? You know, I gotta go.
Ron's so, kidnapped, but let me see what I can pull for you.
Real fast. I think that's cool.
And that's love.
I have a sneaky suspicion, and I want to, Jody, if you think this is something, I have a sneaky suspicion that the same person who hired, who was responsible for killing the fake Tom, is the same person who is impersonating Red, is trying to kill Red.
I have a theory on who's doing this, who's behind the whole Red thing.
Oh.
I have a theory.
Okay, are we going to jump to that? Let's hear it.
The one who infiltrated his account and is doing this? Yeah. I think it's Mr. Kaplan.
Oh, I thought that too, but she's not trying to kill him, is he?
Well, she's not necessarily trying to kill him. She's trying to dismantle his empire.
Oh, but you think Mr. Kaplan's going for revenge?
He shot her in the freaking face and left her to die.
Business.
Well, that does seem to be, I think, the most widely believed theory is that it's Mr. Kaplan. And I'm definitely
so proud
think
of myself.
That's the direction that the show is trying to face you because it's someone with so much access to Red to be able to get into his super secret bank account. Right. But I also have a little trouble believing, yet she didn't seem so vengeful when she left that creepy man's cabin. But who knows what her journey has been since then. We haven't seen her in years.
Yeah.
It's been forever.
I think it's a little too on the nose for it to be Mr. Kaplan.
No!
It's a little on the nose.
No!
What
you are not alone in this theory, Julia.
Oh, it just came to me when I sat down, too. I thought I was so clever.
It's a cough medicine.
I'm on a lot of cold medicine.
I get that could be possible, but I think it's a little on the nose. But I think whoever it is, this is where the connection is. Like whoever this mastermind.
I think that's interesting, Joe. That there's like some puppet master that's puppeteering the other puppet masters. You know that there's this even higher overarching person that would be kind of controlling Red and controlling Tom's parents in some way.
Right. Like the person pulling the strings is not the person pulling the strings. It's, I don't know. Mm. It's like a weird being John Malkovich kind of.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
We'll unpack it.
But let's talk about this episode. So we have this interesting thing. We're starting to see, Harold, we saw a little bit of this last week, but Harold was not happy with Red and really sort of short with Red and getting really curt and angry and really just calling him out and the fact that, like, you know, Red is clearly using the resources of the federal government and the FBI to do his bidding, but Harold thought this was a bargain worth doing because of all the evil that he was taking off the streets, but, you know, that he's kind of sick of it, so he's really pushing Red. And I thought, you know, and that has changed at the top of this, which was basically, give me something now, and he threw him a blacklister. That's interesting. I don't know where this relationship was going. Red hinted at something. He said something like, why are you so interested in pleasing the powers that be, the Justice Department now?
Oh, he wonders why he wants to appease Maine Justice.
Yeah. Was that a hint at, like, maybe Harold's looking for higher office or something? Or is that just has to do with his daughter? I don't know. What did you read into that, Jody? What did you think that was about?
I mean, I thought that was an interesting aside, too, and I noted it somewhere in my recap, because he does, you know, Harold mentions Maine Justice in a way that he never has before. And I also thought that this episode, finally felt like Cooper's annoyance with Red always going over his head or behind his back, it finally felt like it meant something. I was really kind of coming to the edge of my rope with that constant, you know, just about every episode. At the end, they realize that Red had some ulterior motive all along, and they're so annoyed or they're so upset. It's kind of just like a quick little, like, ooh, can't believe he did this again. It's like, really? You can't believe it? Because he does it every time.
Like, like 88 episodes in. Yeah. Like, what? He has an ulterior motive.
As much as I'm fed up with it, it seems like maybe Cooper is well and truly fed up with it, and maybe there is a deeper reason. And that daughter stuff just kind of coming out of nowhere. Like, there's something going on with Cooper, and I always like when there's something going on with Cooper.
Yeah, I always love when they give Cooper more to do, because I think
seems to have come to a head with Wrestler as well, as we saw in last week's episode, when Wrestler was so upset. He said he might as well be paying our paycheck, or signing our paychecks.
Yeah.
And he was upset that, you know, he's given up so much to work for Red, basically. Right. And I think that's coming to a head for Cooper as well.
Yeah, and we touched on this last week, but this all seems to be headed towards some sort of real crisis for Red, as Dembe's been warning. He's worried about sort of, you know, his detachment, if it will, or his ability, his seeming to put himself in more and more danger each year, each month, each day, and the people around him not really caring about him, or not seeming to not have anything to care about. And at the end of this episode, that face-off with Cooper, like, that was exactly what Cooper was saying. Like, you don't know what that's like. The reason why you're so alone, what is that?
He said, you can't understand where your selfishness ends and others' lives begin.
Boom, Flippo.
Yeah, there it is.
Did you hear that, Flippo?
And then he said, I'm going to be with the people who love me.
Uh-huh.
Way hard.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Fred's getting to a point where he really has no one.
Right. So I think
he has enough people around him to point it out to him that he has no one.
Right.
That's a tough place to be.
Hmm.
Right.
Poor Red.
We'll see. I mean, yeah, what happens. Yeah. So I want to get, so they give, Red gives him the architect, you know, which is a person who, which is kind of, I mean, I don't know, from Blacklister.
I've seen it before.
You know, like, his thing is he plans crimes to perfection.
Plans and constructs and executes for a price.
Well, I know. The Blacklist is getting a little thin down there in one, I mean, it's getting a little thin. I don't know. But maybe that's why he's 104. Is that what he was?
107.
107.
But it was kind of a throwaway Blacklister anyway. Like, there was no ulterior motive. Yeah. He was under Cooper's thumb to give him a Blacklister. He goes, the architect.
Yeah, I don't know.
How about that guy?
Yeah, it almost seems like he was making it up when he said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I've got one for you. How about the architect?
Yeah. I like it. It sounds good.
He's 107. And also, like, I don't know with the Blacklisters for me. Sometimes I don't know if I like them when they're sort of Bond villainy kind of caricatures, or if I don't like it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But, you know, with the tattoo, with the, what was that, tattoo. A compass or whatever?
I don't know what that was.
I don't know what those, like, it's the thingy, the architect thingy behind his neck.
The
compass.
Drawing.
It's a compass, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was, yeah. I don't know.
But it was Brian Spiner, so I enjoy that.
I would say that I think it depends a lot less on the Blacklister and a lot more what's going on around them and how the rest of the episode is constructed, because I really did not enjoy last week as much as I usually enjoy, like, a fun, fast-paced episode of the Blacklist.
Right.
And I think it's because they tried to pile a lot more character onto Isabella Stone as a Blacklister than she earned throughout the rest of the episode. You know, she
right.
had
sure.
this motive that didn't totally make sense and that continued to not really make sense into this episode. And if that's going to be the case, then I would rather have sort of like a blank slate of a Blacklister that then gives the post office a lot of room to shine. And I think that's why I enjoyed this episode a lot, because not only are Rom, but we got to kind of see, like, Samar and Wrestler doing their jobs, and we got to see the stuff between Cooper and Red, and then Tom got a little room to grow because the Blacklister was, you know, interesting, but just kind of like a, just kind of a worker, just kind
absolutely.
Of a criminal.
Absolutely.
No, absolutely. Well put.
Well put.
I concur
wholeheartedly.
You're smart, Jim.
Speaking of, I forgot her name.
What did I say?
The Blacklister last week.
Isabella Stone.
I incorrectly, like an idiot, called her Jean Smart, which is, she's so not Jean Smart. Yeah, I thought it was Jean Smart, like in my memory, like somehow. But it was actually, Melora, is that her, how I pronounce her name? Melora Hardin from The Office, as you said.
From The Office, I guess.
Yeah,
Melora. Yeah, she's great. She's the best. And I don't know what, and Jean Smart's on Legend, and Jean Smart's probably, you know, a lot older. So,
I don't know who Jean Smart, I have to look up Jean Smart. I can't place her face.
Anyway, well, she doesn't look like Melora Hardin, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, so correction from last week. So yeah, so the architect comes up. We figure out that the what he's probably going to do next is recruit a hacker of some sort. Mm-hmm. And we get this really cool thing where Aram is, like, sort of going through and figuring out.
I do like a good scavenger hunt.
It's a good a scavenger hunt. Yes.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
I just think that
I especially like a scavenger hunt that Lizzie and Wrestler are on. Yeah. And totally out of their depth, but that, like, Aram is controlling from the post office.
Yeah. I thought that was fun.
That is good. And everything,
I did too.
Everything they found, Aram's like, ugh, of course.
He's so good.
He's had such glee with everything he found, and until it was time for him to, guess what, Aram? You gotta go.
It's gotta be you, bro.
That was very sitcom-y. Like, that whole scene's like, it would have to be someone who knows intimately. Yeah. The whole thing. Who could that be? I can almost hear the music. Womp, womp, womp. And they all look at him, Rom. There it is.
No, there
thank
it
you.
Is. Perfect.
No, not me.
It couldn't possibly be me, guys.
He did get off some good lines about, you know, shouting out his safe word like a baby whose diaper changed. Is that right?
Something like that. Yeah, it was pretty cute. Hysterical.
Amir, it's a good Rom episode.
Good
right?
Rom episode. So, he had a lot to do.
So they get him undercover. He goes in and sort of puts himself out there. He gets kidnapped into the white van and goes to Hacker. Convention.
Hackerville.
Now, we talk to like Amir all the time in real life. I talk to him about how I'm so glad they don't do a lot of the cheesier hacker, TV hacker, movie hacker tropes. And he's like, well, you know, we work really hard, you know, and to make sure that we don't, you know, the tech guys are this and everything that. And I think they've been spot on with that, except for this goddamn episode.
I thought it was funny.
It's fun.
What was that movie in the 80s with Savage when he was the video game convention?
Oh, God, I don't know. Fred Savage?
The Wizard.
The Wizard.
Yes. Yes, that reminded me so much of The Wizard. No, just me?
Yeah, I don't know. I never saw The Wizard. Jody, you know The Wizard? Fred Savage?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I know Fred Savage. Yeah. Maybe I've got some watching to do this weekend.
It's a great 80s classic.
I know
it's really awful.
I know Cloak and Dagger. You know that one? I know War Games. Those are 80s.
I know War Games. All right. There we go.
The Net, Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah. That's 90s.
Hackers.
Angelina?
That's right.
Oh. Yeah. Here we go.
Swordfish? Don't get me started on my hacker movies.
Uh-oh.
Swordfish, like that was what I thought of. I think that's where
that's where you get on the train? Swordfish?
Yeah. Swordfish.
Yeah.
But listen, I mean, I knew that was, like, pretty dumb, what was going on. Right. But I still thought it was fun.
I thought it was fun. To be, like popcorn-y enjoyable.
But at the hacker convention, at Hackerpalooza, or like a Hackchella, or whatever you want to call it, who does he run into but good old Elise?
Good old Elise.
Yeah.
Looking fine as always.
She's got the glasses and the brown hair, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Looking good.
Yeah, I did not recognize her at all. It took me, those glasses were just so damn chunky, I really felt like I could recognize her face.
I agree.
But I got around to it.
It took me a minute to realize until he had to say the line about, like, what we did when the lights went out,
yes.
or whatever. I'm like, oh, that's her. Yeah. Poor Rom.
Poor Rom.
And so,
I did love the constant reference to Samara's girlfriend.
Yeah. Yes. Your girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And Samara's very, very much like, that bitch.
That bitch.
Oh, that was a great moment. That bitch. Hi, Samara. I liked how, like, murky and kind of, like, you know, annoying Elise was in her true persona, you know, because she was so this, like, sweet little, you know, this, like, sweet mm-hmm. blonde when she was dating Aram, because maybe that's what he would go for, but he's, you know, she was this, like, just, you know, just kind of rubbing it in his face a little bit.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
I like that, too.
And do we think for 1 second when she's like, you're on your own, I'm getting out of here, that she was going to leave him there? No, right?
She did.
But no, but, well, except she didn't leave him there. I mean, that she would not help him later is what I thought. She helped him, right?
How did he get her glasses? I was a little confused. They were on the ground.
Over that a little bit in recap.
They were on the ground next to the dead guy, the dead, like, DJ guy.
Oh, I thought she gave them to him.
No, I don't remember that happening.
No,
I was confused.
When the DJ guy got, it seemed like when the DJ was shot that they fell off of him. And
yeah.
I thought, like, oh, maybe he's NSA too and he also had these glasses.
Oh, that's a leap. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought. But right. It didn't play out because he still had his glasses on. I don't know why they were there on the ground, except maybe she left them there.
She planted them for that.
Maybe. I don't know. It just seemed a little
I don't know.
Strange.
That was a hole for me.
Is the DJ playing all pirated music? Is he stuff that he illegally downloaded? Is that the DJ does at Hackfest? Anyway, I'm wondering.
What?
I don't know. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the Hackapalooza.
You love hackers.
the architect busted up, shoots up the place. Gets everyone working at the same time to take down a power grid.
U.S. Power grid, yeah.
U.S. power grid. Not before he you know, takes out the head of actually, let's get the right name.
Black Mass 13.
Black Mass 13, exactly. Takes the head out of Black Mass 13. And I just, the thing I didn't quite understand, which is just obviously the suspension of disbelief, is, you know, the architect could have killed Aram like 4 times.
But he needed him.
That's okay. Well, but even when Aram's, I'm not going to help you, you'll just have to kill me. And then the wrestler of the gang busted in, by the way. And then that saved him. And then, but he was never going to kill him the whole time because he needed him. Okay, got it. All right, I'm sorry. I'm just catching up.
That's okay. That's fine.
Just catching up.
Can
here.
We talk about the puniest little grenade of all time?
Yes.
What was that? It was like a cheesy magician's poof.
Yeah, I heard them say grenade, and then the episode kept moving, and I was like, did it explode? I guess it didn't explode, and then I had to rewind it. It was like a little magician's poof.
Yeah, it was like a magician, and then one guy goes flying over the table.
And then they're out.
It's misdirection. And then Samar and Wrestler are just standing there.
Just a bit of misdirection.
And Rob's gone.
Yeah.
just... Into the ether.
Yeah, that's also a little...
It was the lamest, puniest grenade ever.
Oh, it's the architect. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the whole thing, like, explain this to me now. So the whole thing was to break out this super Aryan, head of Aryan nation guy.
Yeah, Ronnie Perkins.
Yeah, to break him out on the day he's going to get got.
Yeah.
And we're presuming that someone hired the architect to do this, right?
Yeah. Well, they're assuming that the Aryan nation that
they ran, hired him to do this.
Because they had the money to do that. It really had nothing to do, I don't believe, with...
No connection with Aryan.
...with anything that we live with at the Blacklist.
It's just its own separate sort of, you know,
again,
procedural
deal.
Again,
it was Red just grasping at straws to give him a blacklist or someone to go after.
All right. What about this crazy, weird, like, high-powered, stainless steel... super gun, bazooka gun thing.
Oh, yeah.
Is that...
That Mach 7 titanium rod launching...
That's, I assume, is what, at the top of the show, what they stole.
Yeah, another thing I had to rewind on, where, you know, I was starting to recap sort of the fold open, and then I was like, wait a second, what were they stealing? And it was those bazooka guns.
Oh.
Yeah. This episode had a lot of, like, sort of...
Really have to work
the
for
connective,
this one.
Yeah, the connective tissue in the procedural part of this episode. You have to work for it a bit. Because if you're rewinding and I have no idea what's going on, I'm misquoting and we're not doing everything. We're I don't know.
Oh, I didn't even think about it.
Of course,
I didn't even question where they got the bazooka.
If I was just watching as a viewer, I wouldn't care that, you know, I wouldn't ever remember that had happened in the beginning, that something had been stolen. I do think it came together a bit to all say, you know, the architect really works for his plans. Like, he has a bunch of balls going, a bunch of plates in the air all at one time. And that was a little bit what we were seeing play out. But
right. But
I agree that there were some things that were a bit of a stretch, like why he wasn't just killing Aram, like why Aram needed to be there to open the doors, why that had to be the winner of the hackathon. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like anyone who had made it to that point could do that.
Right.
And he could have just killed Aram and, you know, grabbed another kid who was, like, coding at a coffee shop and just gotten him to open the doors or her to open the doors.
Got it.
But I would want Aram, too. Best in the biz.
Yeah, he's the best in the biz.
Well, yeah.
And so just to finish this thing, so they go and they do the whole thing where they get to the prison and Aram's opening doors a la Mission Impossible 4? Not the one where they're doing that thing? There's a very similar thing where... Tom Cruise is going through prisons and the hackers opening doors. But anyway, they do that. They're blowing up towers with the big super gun. And Aram uses the glasses thingy to get a signal out so that the best two-man team and all of the government can come and can come and track them down. And they do.
They do.
And
they
get
do it every time.
The architects
never bring backup. Don't need backup.
Never needs backup. Just the best two-man federal agents in the world. By the way, the most highly decorated of these guys. The two of them have taken down so many super criminals, arrested so many super criminals, like shot so many people. Like they've got to be the most highly decorated FBI agents in history. By
you
the
would
way,
think.
The two of them. They're so effective. Anyway, so he's the architect's making his way out. And Aram says, not on my watch, and does a very sort of almost Dirty Harry-esque, like, shoot, you know, make my day thing and shoots him and blows him to bits.
Which is hard for Aram to do. That does not come easy to Aram.
I felt that was a little bit of redemption for Aram, who wasn't quite the manliest this whole time. Like, you know, when he was under fire, he was a lot of like, I'm not doing this, or you can't do this. And a lot of, I thought he didn't really do him well. I thought they could have given him a little more, I don't know.
A little more gusto.
A little more guts. A little
macho-ness.
He seemed a little... I don't know.
Well, it doesn't come easy for him. And there was that episode a couple weeks back where Smar sort of says, you sit behind a desk, but I'm out there getting shot and running around and putting my life on the line.
Right.
So it was nice to...
I think it's interesting. It's a definite character change. You know, I don't think that it has anything to do with his, you know, macho-ness or anything like that. He's just a different person. Like, sure. He does a different job. And so, it was a complete parallel to an episode from a while back where he was, you know, he needed to hack the environmentalist killer.
Yes.
And he was, like, about to blow up a city, I think. And Aram couldn't, you know, hit the button to take his plane down, and Cooper did it for him instead.
Yep.
Aram thought it was the wrong move. And, you know, he's obviously backpedaled on that and changed his mind. And I did think that was an interesting character development that felt pretty drastic, and I think will kind of have to earn itself over the next episode.
Well, did it come from him being actually in the field and experiencing it in real time, like in front of his eyes, rather than, you know, safe in the post office behind a desk and behind a computer screen?
And Andrew Martin did remind me.
Yeah, potentially. And having been, you know, kidnapped by that man, mm-hmm. and experiencing that man, in real life is a good point.
And Andrew Martin in the chat room reminded us and me that he did use a fire extinguisher to knock on a henchman, so, you know. He was. Yeah. He had some action going on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
After Elise had mostly taken him.
Yeah. I wasn't. She was. So that, I thought that was kind of cool, and we got a little bit of a Aram Navabi kind of, like, you know, little.
She loves him.
Smoochy boochy, kind of almost a little at the end. Not real kisses, but they're, you know, a little, you know, she likes
smoochy
them.
Smoochy boochy.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I call flirting.
Oh.
swing on over to Tom Keene's quest to find his real.
It's kind of getting me excited for redemption.
Yeah, I mean, so he.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job tonight.
Yeah, yeah, like
really
he.
Interest.
Yeah, he's on the. He did the. You know, he did the. What was his fake name? It was very when he went to the door.
Frank something.
Or it was like, hi, I'm Frank Schmackable. Like, what was that? What was that, Tom? Who? but yeah, he did that. Then he came back and he's like, I lied. I'm really. I thought that whole thing was great.
I was into that story.
The mom was very creepy. I think the story was cool. I did like the back and forth, as we mentioned earlier, between Liz and Tom. Uh-huh. She's in the midst. They're just chatting away on the phone and they're helping each other. And I wonder if this is going to be a reoccurring theme in Blacklist Redemption, where Tom will be doing missions for Scotty and calling Liz for stuff. And who knows? But anyway. So I thought that was interesting, and we did get to the point where Tom did have the moment, as we predicted last week, where he said, I actually do care about my dad. You know, we were talking about last week how he was just like the poor orphan boy, like, I don't care about my dumb dad. I don't even care.
Yeah. You know? That's another thing that I've found that I have, you know, been annoyed by in past episodes, much like the, you know, Cooper being frustrated with Red, that it never really feels like it means anything. It's kind of the same with Tom and his, like, I don't care about my parents. I don't care about this. Or I don't care that I'm out of the espionage field. And then he, like, as soon as Lizzie shuts the door, he, like, takes a gun and goes off on a secret spy mission.
Right. Like,
you know, there's been a lot of that with him. And this one finally feels... I think that it has done its job in some ways, him being very hesitant to find out more about his past and kind of, like, begrudging about it. And now he can finally admit that he really does want to know about it because he... truly wants to know about it has made me feel a little bit like, oh yeah, maybe I want to know about it too.
Yeah, I agree. So it makes us sort of makes me wanting and waiting for a redemption
2-hour event next week.
Excited, very excited about it. So So we have that thing. And then, of course, we have the Red, which we talked about. You know, we want to talk about Red and his, you know, going through his links to find out what's going on. This whole thing with the, you know, his whole scene with Isabella. What's her name?
Isabella Stone.
Did she always have the blood? Did something happen?
They were in the car accident at the end. Okay, because I felt like last week.
I'm like, did Red do that to her? Because I missed in the first time when they were in the ice. I didn't see the blood in her head, and then it came back from commercial, and there was blood. I felt like, oh no.
Oh, but okay. I don't know.
I thought, you know, okay, but so that interrogation method worked, and that was kind of interesting to find out what happened. And he kind of, you know, it felt like he had some real good deep psychological interrogating without actually doing anything bad to her, though he did threaten to suffocate her and before she froze.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought that whole thing was effective.
Kind of a letdown for the character of Isabella Stone. I think we already touched on that a little bit, how she sort of just fell flat at the end.
Yeah, I mean, you know. And then, then he went to go find the new, the guy, the banker who's getting the super painting by
Polpetto.
Yes, exactly. I like
the
fact. It's
just so funny. I did love his line that I could be hanging in Pompidou if you would just get out of my house. That's like, this is genius.
That was great.
I love every second of this.
That was good stuff. Like, they see the two of them. Yes. Again, that's a spin-off. That's a web series I want.
Oh, I'm in.
I want them as like the in-laws. like a buddy group.
They had a great back and forth. And the fact that they thought of that was like what was going to be going on with that banker when Red found him. Like, that he was going to be having his. It was so random, and it worked so well.
Where do you come up with this stuff? I loved it.
It was good stuff. It felt very Alan Arkin, Peter Falk. Like it was, I liked it a lot. Hopefully there's more of that from those guys. Because at the end, he did get off the best line of the entire Blacklist series, which was what, Jody?
Let's see. I've got it around here somewhere.
Something about testicles.
Forget having your testicles scratched. You've been castrated.
Yes. Forget having your testicles scratched. You have been castrated.
Okay.
Opened my recap with without any. I just could never quite find a time in my word count to be able to work in that Red implied that he wanted the banker to scratch his balls because he was having to sit still for having his portrait made.
Right.
But it all really worked. It all really worked within the confines of the episode.
That's funny. What do we have? We had a power outage here.
Yeah, we had some sort of technical difficulties.
We're still going. Everything's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. It's crazy out here.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. Like,
it's
wow.
Insane.
Man, LA is a mess.
We do have to get out of here anyway, but I do want to get to Jody. I want to touch on your loose ends that you mentioned in your you know, instead of doing predictions, I want to touch on some of these loose ends that we kind of touched on some of them. But we talked about Samara friend Janet Sutherland, that bitch, that was fun. She's sitting right here. That was funny. Hi, Samar. The Reverend Wright. Yeah, the Reverend White, Laurel Hitchens. What's going on? I mean, where's that story going?
You know, I'm not sure. But I feel like I hope that if they're bringing it back in, that it's going somewhere big. You know, I think that all of that stuff has been interesting in the past, like the way that Laurel Hitchens plays into everything. And I forget her exact role in the government, but it seems that she is still in that role and kind of like advising the president of the United States.
She's also the national security advisor.
Criminal murderer. So I think that that's an interesting thing for Wrestler to be. I'm much more interested in watching Wrestler do that kind of thing, like explore his job more than kind of learning more about Wrestler personally.
Right.
Because I think he is his job, and so that's interesting.
That's just good. Wait, hold it for 1 second. Steven, are we still recording?
No, we are not, actually. The weather out here knocked out the power for a moment, so we're off the air.
Oh, we're off the air?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's my guess.
All right.
I apologize for that. We're firing up the TriCaster now. I should be able to get
back
and rolling here in a minute.
We've got to wrap, though, right? I've got to go. You've got to go.
Yeah, I've got to go pretty soon. If we can get back on.
But everything was recorded up to that point?
Up until about probably 2 minutes ago.
Okay. So I think
really before we got into loose ends.
All right. Well, maybe we should just come back in and to predictions.
Yeah, let me get back with you guys in just a second.
Oh yeah, take your time. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Hi, Jody.
Hello.
Is it really? It's 70 degrees there today, right?
What?
No, it's not 70. It's just clear. No, it's cold, but I saw the sun icon in the weather.
The weather thingy. Yeah. No, it's cold, but it's nice.
It's cold but nice. Yeah,
I
want
to go to New York.
I have all my power.
When I was, the first day I was there, it was
one
gorgeous.
Step ahead of us.
Then it dumped a bunch of snow on me the second day, second and third day.
Okay, guys. So
yeah, that weather when you were here, that was nuts.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get the stream back up rolling. I'll let you guys know in just a minute here.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
I want to go to New York.
Yeah, it scared the crap. Like the trip to LaGuardia scared the crap out of me because I'm trying to get out of town and Lola's like booking flights for me, and as she's booking stuff, everything's like getting canceled. And getting to before like 2,000 flights were canceled, but it was like before like the ground's like opening up underneath us. And I was in a cab, going to Gordon, and it was like backed up all to hell with construction, everything's going nuts. People were like had suitcases running, like like it's World War Z. What's happening? But I realized that this is the storm's about to hit, and everyone's trying to get on something or get out of something.
Get out of New York.
Yeah, it scared the crap out of me. I was like, "Oh no, we're all gonna die."
Where are you from originally, Jody?
I grew up in Texas, but my family's from like South Carolina, Georgia area.
Oh, okay.
But just very southern.
Southern. We're from here.
Yeah, we're both LA kids.
Y'all are both from LA.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
We're rarities.
Oh.
All right, guys, we are back on the air.
Jody, I think I'm moving to New York soon, by the way. I'll keep you posted on that, yeah.
We're back on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
We're back on the air. Hey, we had a small power outage for those who are, if you're streaming us live, I'm sorry about that. We had a power outage here in Los Angeles for the rain. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, there was probably a little jump in there, but we're going to go right to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Julia.
No, it's supposed to be Jody first.
I know, but I'm going to go with you.
Oh. Well, I already sort of talked that, I think Mr. Kaplan might be behind this whole, all these shenanigans, but then that was shot down. Shot down to the ground.
So, but what else do you think?
I don't know.
Evan?
No.
Okay. Do you have no thought of who's behind all the shenanigans?
No, I thought it was maybe Mr. Kaplan.
He does. But it's Kaplan. I'm not shooting that down, Julia.
Okay.
Braswell is shooting me down hard.
Jody, what about you? What do you got? What's coming up? How do you think we're going to bridge to redemption? What's this all leading to?
Well, the way that it's building is really making me think that that the Blacklist and the crew from the Blacklist are going to be maybe a little bit more involved in the Blacklist Redemption spinoff than I originally assumed. Like mm-hmm. you were saying earlier, maybe like some phone calls with Lizzie, some input from Red. I don't know that to be true, but it's kind of seeming like it might shake out that way. And also that the premiere of it is going to be like totally roped in with an episode of the Blacklist. Maybe they'll be a little more intertwined than I originally thought.
Do you think that it's going to be solely like based on Scotty and her company? Because the promo seems to be leaning heavily on the fact that these are three blacklisters. They've done a lot of bad shit, but now they're all searching for redemption. Like they're now doing good to make up for all the bad shit they've done.
Last week that Tom's daddy died, which of course he didn't die because that's a big actor that they showed. So we know he's going to come back somehow. I don't know. Maybe that was constructed, the death of his dad or the perceived death of his dad.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Thank you, folks in the chat room. Yeah, that was, we had a power outage here. That's what they're asking about. The producer came in with a remote. What happened? Yeah. We had a giant power outage here and we're back online now. That's all I got. I don't know. Next week is the finale?
Winter finale and Blacklist Redemption, so we have to figure out what we're going to do.
We're going
to
do a bunch. I think so we're also going to cover Blacklist Redemption, I believe, as well, because we're going to do, while Blacklist is on hiatus, we will do Blacklist Redemption, at least for the first few episodes. So look for that for all you guys listening and wondering who's going to cover that. It'll be us.
Yours truly.
Hey, who's are you recapping that too, by the way, Jody?
Yes, I will be recapping Blacklist Redemption at EW.com.
Well, there you go. Oh, see?
Perfect.
So we're all on the same beat.
Yep.
Well, Jody, thank you for joining us and rapping with us, and we'll definitely have you back on to talk some Redemption, you know, when we get into that. And you said that already, but where can the people find you on Twitter and whatever and whatnot?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at @BJodyWalker. And all over the internet, especially EW.com and Vulture for New York Magazine right now.
Oh, cool.
All right. And you, Julia.
Me? Twitter, yeah. Instagram. My name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. I'm reading our folks here. I don't know if they can. Anapora Saha, Andrew Martin, and Golden Toe, and Watson Keen, and all you folks that are listening. I don't know if you heard all of our conversations. Uh-oh. Like, I don't know if they heard, you know, everything. But they seem to maybe hear stuff. I don't know if they heard it.
We should have given them some better anyway, dirt.
Yeah. But it's great to have you guys. Thank you for, you guys are super great and super loyal. I appreciate you guys coming in every single week. Thanks, Jody. You rock, says Golden Toe. That's very sweet. Feel better, Julia.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you guys next week and for Redemption and other stuff.
Yep. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.